Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to PF Women Talk Radio. We are coming to you today from the Penn, Florida District, located in Lakeland, Florida, and I'm your host, Deanna Schrodes, Director of PF Women. Today, I have a very special guest with me, and in just a moment, I'm going to introduce her. But first, I have a reminder for all of our people in Penn, Florida. Our next gathering for women in ministry in the Penn, Florida District is our luncheon at District Council, Tuesday, May 19th. And we want you to know men are invited as well. This is going to be a great event. We are trying something new this year. In addition to a delicious luncheon and exquisite surroundings, we're having a forum of four panelists. The theme this year is the seasons of ministry, and four of our leading ladies here in Penn, Florida are going to be featured. Candace Carter, Christina Johnson, Renee Modica, and Maria Rivero will be sharing their wisdom and their insights with the women who are in attendance. Now, we're going to be focused specifically on flourishing in all the different seasons of ministry, all the different ups and downs. So I want you to know that tickets are on sale now. They're only available through this Saturday, April 25th, online. You get your tickets online, go to PennFlorida.org, and you'll be able to purchase those. This is a very real deadline, and tickets will not be available this year on-site at Council. So we really don't want you to miss out. We really encourage you, act now, act by Saturday, so that you can join us. So let's move on to our main topic today, which is now what? And our special guest today is Pastor Tina Blunt. Tina is an inspirational communicator who loves the Lord and serves the Lord as the Connections Pastor at Brandon Assembly of God. She is a speaker, author, and certified Christian life coach, but her favorite role is being a mom to her 16-year-old daughter, Jenna. And Tina is passionate about equipping and inspiring individuals to reach their full potential and fulfill the purpose for which they were created. In her spare time, she loves to read, go to the movies, lay by the pool, and drink lots of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Welcome, Tina.
Thanks, Deanna. It's good to be with you today. Hello, everyone.
It is so great to be with you. You are truly, truly one of my favorite people and longtime friends, and I'm just so blessed to have this conversation with you today. And we're talking about your wonderful book that has been a blessing to so many people. In fact, I have read it and had it on my shelf since the very first that it was released, and it's exciting to talk to you about it today, your book called Now What? And I want to start out by asking you, what was the catalyst that encouraged you to write this book?
Thank you for asking. You know, it was such an amazing story, and I think it is really a picture of what God wanted to speak through the book in the way that he asked me to do it. You know, writing a book was not on my radar at that point in time. I had been an HR executive for 20 years. At that point, I was working for a reemployment organization as a job coach and trainer, and I was teaching actually at our experience conference, and I was really talking about, you know, finding your purpose and finding the expression of your purpose, more importantly. And there was a beautiful woman that sat in all three offerings that I taught at the Experience Conference. And she, at the end of the third offering, at the third teaching, she came to me and she said, "Do you have any of this written down?" And I said, "Well, I can give you my notes." I mean, that was the only place I had it written down. And she said, no, I mean in the form of a book. And I thought, well, isn't she cute? She thinks that I should put this in a book. Well, after two additional promptings from the Lord, I really just kind of knelt on my knees with him and said, "God, I don't know what to write about." And he said, "Write your heart, write my heart." And it was really at the height of what our country was going through. There were thousands upon thousands of people losing their jobs. And so he prompted me to write this message because I felt like he really wanted to bring both hope and a plan to people who are in vocational and spiritual crossroads.
Wow. Wow. Well, was that as a result as well of what you were experiencing in your own personal life and the trajectory of your time in the secular world and in ministry?
Well, you know, it kind of was because it was one of those places where he had called me out of, just a couple of years prior to that, he had called me out of corporate America. And he really did call me out of corporate America. It was not something that was on my career path. I, at the time, was working for a Fortune 500 company. And God just began to deal with me about letting go of my secular job. And I'll be honest with you, I thought God had lost his mind. I was the primary breadwinner in my family. I was at the height of my professional career, and he called me away from that. So it was really shortly after that, I would say within a year after that time frame, that he began to say to me, okay, he said, you have let go of that thing that you're gripping so hard, which was the career path that I think that I thought was going to go on, and I was opening my hands up to what he had for me. So there was a whole lot of symbolism going on between writing this book and what I was living in my own life.
Wow. Awesome. Well, Tina, who did you write this book for, and what is the overall message?
You know, that it's such a beautiful question, because I continue to look back at this book that's now 5 years old and ask myself that same question. And I think it's still true today as the day that I penned the words. It was really written for individuals who find themselves at vocational and spiritual crossroads. I think so often I spend time ministering to people who really see them kind of more as parallel items, like a kind of like a train track. My right foot's on my spiritual life, and my left foot is on my career. But the reality is that they totally intersect. And so because there were so many people losing their jobs in our country at that point in time, I wanted to write a message to them that brought them both hope, because when you're losing your job, when you're getting laid off, it's a devastating time. And so I wanted to bring them hope that God had a plan for them, that they could trust him if they would put their trust in him. And at the same time, I wanted to bring them a practical plan of how to go from these two parallel kind of areas of our life and understand that they intersect, and that God really wanted to use their career as an expression of his glory through them. And so that was really kind of the catalyst behind who I wrote it for.
Awesome. Well, now you reference in your book John 10:10, which says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So I want to ask you, professionally speaking, what has the enemy stolen from believers?
Oh, goodness. You know, he is constantly stealing, and he's thieving, and he's creeping around our ankles. And I just see this again and again. I think he has stolen in some cases, or attempted to steal in other cases, our joy, and in our passion, and in our purpose for what we're doing, just to name a few. You know, believers, people who love God, who want to serve him with their whole hearts, sometimes find themselves trapped in a cycle of working for the paycheck, working for the dollar, in some cases working for identity. That was true in my case, in my early parts of my career, working for fulfillment on some level. But our job is really meant to be an expression of who he's created us to be. It is our assignment on earth. It is the way that we bring him glory, and it's in many cases, it's the way that we reveal who he is to other people, and it comes in the form of our work. And so I think if the enemy can reduce that down to just a droll, mundane, this is what I do every day. I go to work, and then I come home, and then I go to work, and then I come home, and it feels like Groundhog Day. In essence, he has stripped away the fruit and the life that was meant to be involved in what God has given us as our vocation. Whether you're a stay-at-home mother, whether you're a professional of some sort, whether you have a blue-collar job or you're an executive, and or if you're in ministry, he wants to strip it down and just make it what I like to call goulash, when God meant for it to be a gourmet meal every time we encounter our day-to-day jobs.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. How does one go about getting it back and to begin living purposefully in their career?
Well, I think I'd love to answer that by just telling you a quick story.
Okay.
You know, I had spent 20 years building a professional career. I had grown up in the church as a child. I had stepped away from church throughout my young adult teenage years into my early 20s. And when I went back to work, my life and my church, my relationship with God were totally two separate experiences. I kind of have a belief that said if I ever want to be somebody, if I ever want to do some things, if I ever want to have some things, I am just going to have to buckle down and make it happen. And so I was a very hardworking professional. And so when God began to call me away, initially it began probably what I might call a restlessness in my spirit. I began to feel restless. I began to feel unfulfilled. And for the person that's listening who maybe they've not gone through a transition, but they're feeling that itching on the inside of them, that was really kind of my first clue that God wanted to do something different. And so the Lord began to speak to my heart about letting go of that job. And for about 6 months, I mean, he and I just went back and forth. It didn't make sense in the natural. And I'll never forget, I went to bed one evening, and as I was going to bed, I prayed just a simple prayer. And I said, Lord, I can't do this dance with you any longer. I felt like Jacob wrestling with the Lord. And I said, if this is really you, I need you to give me handwriting on the wall. And so I went to bed, and somewhere in the middle of the night, I just woke up kind of out of my sleep and wandered into the living room and did something really unusual for me. I felt tempted to just turn on the television and sit and watch TV in the middle of the night. And there was a movie that was on, and it was a movie I'd seen before and I really liked. And it came to this one scene where the daughter is speaking to her grandmother, and they're speaking in Spanish. And so there's subtitles on the bottom of the screen. And the daughter was talking about something that she was struggling with. And the grandmother said these words. She said, mi amor, you will never know love until you surrender to it. And in that moment, I knew that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, Tina, you will never really know me until you surrender to me. And right now I'm asking you to surrender your professional plans and trust me. And so I think at the end of the day, how we go about getting it back, taking back what the enemy stole, really happens on our knees. It's in a place of surrender. It's opening up our eyes and recognizing, God, I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to you. And asking the Lord to open up our eyes, what have we been working for? Have we been working for money or identity or purpose or living out a plan that somebody told us that was the right plan instead of what God thought is the right plan, what he still thinks is? And so I would say it comes down to surrender. It's embracing that passage in Matthew that says whoever wants to save their life is going to lose it, but whoever loses their life for him will find it. That's how I found it. That's when everything changed for me.
That is good. So, so good. Wow. So valuable what you're sharing with us right now. And there are some listening that have been going through the motions for so long that they don't know what it feels like to be working in the sweet spot of what they were created to do. Tina, what advice would you have for them?
Wow, that's such an interesting dilemma, because what happens is that we start working and we think this is what I'm called to do, and we get so deep into it that we think, gosh, I've been doing this for so long, I don't even know what it would be like. And what happens is, in some ways, we stop dreaming. And what I would say is that sometimes we've got to do a little digging into our life. We've got to do a little excavating. You know, in Florida here, we have these beautiful oak trees, and their roots go deep underground, and you can't see them. And then we have these water oak trees that they're still equally as beautiful, but the roots kind of dance on the surface. And I think for some of us, we're like water oaks. You can see our passion roots. They just are like all over the place. You can see them right there on the surface. But for others, they're so deeply ingrained into the life that they've been living that they're hard to reach. And so what I would say to the person that says, listen, I'm going through the motions, I don't even know what my sweet spot is, what I would say to them is that there is a place inside of you that when you do a certain thing, when you're in a certain atmosphere, when you're talking about a certain topic, that your soul just begins to sing. And when your soul begins to sing, it is a clue that you are near that sweet spot of what you're really passionate about. I have a little stanza that I sing in my office. They know in my office that and here at our church that when I'm like working in my sweet spot, I sing. And it's this really silly little phrase that goes, I love a parade. And that just means my soul is singing. I love what I'm doing. I love it in that moment. And so what I would say is find that place where your soul sings. And it doesn't have to be what you're doing in your job. It could be just that awakening when you're having a conversation with someone and maybe you're talking about, I don't know, homelessness or working with orphans or maybe you get really excited when you start talking about auditing a spreadsheet. I don't know what it is for whoever might be listening to this, but listen for that place where you feel that rise of passion, and that is the first clue. And then you take that clue and you start to dream about it a little bit. You start to say, gosh, God, what could we do with this? And so you just start that conversation with Him about that place where your soul sinks. People have said to me, well, what happens if I can't find a singing spot, what do I do? Will you go back to that place of surrender? Father, here's what I have in my hands. I have this skill in my hand. I have this opportunity in my hand. Lord, where would you have me use it for your glory? And so on the one hand, you look for the singing. If you can't find the singing, you go back to the conversation.
That's awesome. So good. I'd like you to expand on that and share with us What is one thing you would like our listeners to know about the process of finding their true vocational calling?
I think what I've learned in this journey, and I'm still learning in this journey, is that it's absolutely a journey. There is not a 1, 2, 3, 4 step process that says, if you follow this formula, you will identify your true vocational calling. And I think the reason for that is that the journey includes seasons of preparation. They include seasons of character development. They include seasons of testing, where God is testing your obedience. I remember between the time that God called me out of corporate America and called me to anything in a ministry capacity. Now, let me pause there and say, I was serving in my church. I was teaching adult Sunday school in my church. I was serving on the women's ministry team at that point. But between kind of vocationally, I'm getting a paycheck, so to speak, my corporate world and stepping into what was going to be my next leg of the journey, there was about a year season where His entire focus for me was to stay home and take care of my family. And I was to clean toilets, and I was to do laundry, and I was to make meals, and I was to go grocery shopping. And I will tell you that in that season, I was absolutely miserable. I felt like God was wasting me. I felt like He had taken me from an executive role, and He had put me out in the coal mines. But looking back, I can see that that part of the journey was so important because there were things that were in me and on me that needed to go. And I'll never forget, I had been about out of my job about a week, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, out of the scriptures in the book of John, Tina, you must decrease, and I must increase. And so what I would say to the person who is saying, listen, I'm on this journey, and I think that God has forgotten me. I'm in the wilderness. What I would say to them is that remember that the wilderness had a purpose, and where God has you today, if you are still in the sovereign will of God, it has a purpose too. Just trust Him on the journey and be obedient to whatever He leads you to, even if it doesn't make sense in the natural.
That is so true. I am reminded of reading some of Alicia Britt Cholley's writings on the hidden years and Jesus in the hidden years and you know, many other people in Scripture and the hidden years, what they would consider the hidden years, and how we so often think God has forgotten us or that we are not fulfilling our purpose. But there is a purpose in that time. And many times when people see those who have come into, the fulfillment of just a new season, a new assignment, and they just think that it all happened overnight, but they don't realize anything about those hidden years that people have lived, cleaning the toilets and doing all those different things that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And those hidden years, those are the years where we become truly a vessel that he can use. You know, so many of us, we look at the natural things. Well, I've got this skill, and I've got that talent, and I've got this gifting, and it's what's all on the surface. But if we don't have the character in place, that then we're not going to be able to give God the glory that he is so rightly of. And so I so agree with you. Those hidden years did more to make me someone that could bring God glory than all of the work that I was doing, taking classes and training. And not that those things are bad, they're good and they're important. Just looking back on my story, those hidden years were the most important.
Yes, I definitely see that for my own life as well. And I just encourage people out there who have not come to that realization about their own lives to really take into consideration what you're saying, because it's so true. I have another question for you, but I'm wondering, are you open to taking a live call? We've got somebody calling in with a question.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, let's see if we can bring them on here. You are live on the air with Deanna and Tina. What's your question today?
Hi. I'm sorry, my phone call keeps bouncing. I'm losing my signal because it hangs up. That's not me. First of all, I am thoroughly impressed by what the young lady is saying about these, I call hurdles in the career work field. I currently work for a prominent delivery company. I don't want to say a name because people know the name if I did say it. But I deliver packages to businesses and residences. Now, my wife is pursuing her degree, career from her degree in the state. Now, I for one, I'm not too thrilled about this state, but it's up north. But I'm willing to do anything for her to progress in her area of work. My question is for me, what do you do? Because I am in the ministry also. What do you do when you want to pursue a career in ministry? You're in school for ministry, but you can't find a job in ministry. But you haven't decided other jobs that you're used to doing as far as trucking.
That's my biggest hang-up. That's a great question. And, you know, here's my first response to that. So first, thank you for calling in and posing that question, because I think many people feel that. They feel like, gosh, I want to be in full-time ministry. I think that the first question you have to gain clarity of is God calling you to full-time vocational ministry, or is he wanting to use you in the marketplace in a ministry capacity? What I often find is that people love the Lord so much and they want to serve God in full-time vocational ministry, whether it be working in a church or in a ministry of some sort, and that may very well be the direction that God is calling you in, but I would encourage you to gain clarity. Is there any possibility that God wants to use your years of experience right where you are and have you be a blessing from business to business to business and home to home to home? Now, having said that, if you gain the clarity that God is truly, so to speak, calling you out of the marketplace and into vocational ministry, then you have to trust that he is going to open those doors for you. He's going to lead you to exactly where he wants to be. I can tell you that I have been a door buster most of my professional life. But one thing I've learned, and I've actually learned it from Deanna, is that if you force open a door, you have to keep the door open. Where if you are being called, God will lead you through the educational steps, and he will then guide you to where you should begin applying, and that door will naturally come open for you.
That's good. That's so good, Tina. Thank you so much for calling in today. Did we help? Did we help you with your question?
We did. I appreciate that.
Okay. Good, good.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We're glad that you've called in today. Thank you so much.
All right.
Tina, I'd like to ask you, what is the biggest obstacle? We only have a few more minutes left here, and I'd like to know, what do you feel is the biggest obstacles that our listeners should watch out for?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think the biggest obstacle is the one perhaps maybe that I face. She's a fictional person that I like to call Mrs. Yabuts. And Mrs. Yabuts is exactly what I'm saying. She is the one that is whispering in your ear, or he is whispering in your ear, that is saying, yeah, but you won't make any money. Yeah, but no one's going to hire you. Yeah, but you are not going to be able to transition out of your career into ministry, as the caller just said. And at the end of the day, it's the voice of doubt and fear and discouragement, and it's the voice that whispers to you to settle in the wilderness rather than continuing out of complacency and finding your place in the promised land. And I think you've just got to shut down those voices. You've got to listen to the voice of truth. You've got to just be obedient to what God's prompting you, and you will overcome those obstacles.
Very valuable. We definitely need to deal with Mrs. Yabuts. That was one of my favorite parts of your book. Was about Mrs. Yabuts. That's great. Well, tell our listeners, where can they get your book? How can they order this wonderful resource?
Thank you for that. They can actually go to Amazon.com. They can go to Christian Book Distributors. They both have them and sell them from there. And so I would love it if they would pick up a copy, and feel free to reach out to me on my website. There's a connection place where they can connect with me if they have other questions, and I just love to be available to serve them.
Awesome. Tina, tell them, what is your website address?
Yes, it is www.tinablunt, and Blunt is B-L-O-U-N-T. Don't forget the O, O-U-N-T.com.
Wonderful. This was such a valuable time with you today. I just want to thank you, and thank you for just hopping right in to answer our guest caller's question. That was amazing. We are just so blessed by your insights. I want all of you, our listeners, to know that we bring you what we do here at PF Women Talk Radio because we want to invest in you on a regular basis. We want to bring you life-giving interviews and life-giving talk every week that not only inspires you, but that brings you to a positive spiritual change and fresh momentum in your life. And I really trust that this interview and this conversation with Pastor Tina Blunt spoke to you today. I want to encourage you to go to her website, get her book. I've been so blessed by both, and I know that you'll be blessed too. She has other books there as well, and you know, is an author several times over. So please, you know, get a hold of her materials, be blessed by them, and be sure to even point people to this interview, which will be on the archives up on our website. You can go to our website at pfwomen.com, and we've got a link there with links to all of the past radio shows that we've done. Well, we love all of you, and until next time, I just want to say God bless you, and you are loved. Until next time, bye now.